in our language, in fact, light has many meanings. The common meaning, it says, when you switch off the lights, you say it is darkness, and darkness, the contrast, it is the light. But there are many other things or many other meanings for light. So light is contrary to darkness, in fact. One is normal light, and what are the other meanings? Just look. When somebody is facing a big problem, when he do not know what to do, he says, I am in darkness. That means he doesn't have a way out, or he is in confusion. So darkness is confusion there. It is not, in fact, normal light. It is confusion. And light means clarity. When he gets a way, or when he understands through this way he can go out, he says, yeah, I'm in light. And again, think, somebody is saying, those were my dark days. What does it mean? It is not normal darkness, and it is not just confusion. It is some kind of struggle, disaster, and all the troubles he was facing in his life. So that is darkness. And what is light? Then it is when you are coming out of that disaster, when you have joy, you have celebration, you have success, you are blessing, you say, yeah, it is light. So what I said, light has different meanings. And when we say, oh, he's a child of darkness, what does it mean? It is none of the things that we said earlier. It is something related to morality. He is son of darkness means he belongs to the devil. That's what we mean, in fact. Or he is doing all kind of evil things. And what is light? Light is goodness. Light is divine. And that's the reason why even Jesus said, you are the children of light, and those people are the children of darkness. So it doesn't mean that they are living in night, like we see in Exodus, that some days were night for the Egyptians and light for, or day for the Israelites. It's not the meaning that they are children of darkness or children of light. It is something different. So there we come in a way, we are understanding that this has got a moral meaning. So in the Bible, of course, in many places, many meanings were given, or it uses as lack of light, and it uses as calamities. And even God says, it is I who create darkness. It doesn't mean that he is creating moral darkness. It says that it is I who make calamities in your life so that you can come out of it. And then you will know that I am the Lord, or it will help you to, trust in the Lord more. So that is not moral darkness. That is something different. That is calamities. So here, the first reference of light in the Bible that we see in Genesis chapter 1, verse 5. There we see God pronounces a sentence, let there be light. God said, let there be light. And we know that it is God who is the author of light. It is God who created light, or it is God who gives light. And maybe we know that God is the source of all light. All light. And even in 1 John chapter 1 verse 5, we read that God is light and there is no darkness in him. That means God is light. God is light means he is only light. There's no darkness in him. He is only light. Then, when we go to Genesis and when we look at it, I just want to ask you some questions. When I read Bible, I have a lot of questions. And even you need to ask questions when you read Bible. And the first thing, when I was reading this verse, I just ask the question, why it was necessary for God to create light? Of course, he is light. Then why a special thing? Especially it is said, let there be light. Why? Why God needed to say, let there be light? To know that, we need some kind of a small exegesis from the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. I just want to draw your attention to the passage. You know, it is the beginning of the Bible, and all of you, even otherwise, most of you know it by heart. The first verse says that God created heavens and earth. Yes, God created heavens and earth. It was the first creation of God. And that gives us a clear, or in fact, a joyful understanding or a revelation about God that he is not a God who sleeps, he is a God of action. Because I have gone through many of the epics of the Greek people and even the Eastern people, and many places I have seen that gods are sleeping. I sometimes wonder if I am worshipping a God who sleeps, it doesn't help me, because many times I need God in an emergency. And if I'm calling my God who sleeps, suppose I'm driving a car and I fail the brake, maybe I want to call God, but maybe I will not be able to call him because I need to check the schedule of God, whether he's sleeping now. Then what is the use of that kind of God? But thank God, because we do not have a God like that. We have a God who never sleeps. That's what we see in Psalms 121. The God of Israel, the keeper of Israel, he never sleeps, neither he slumber. So I thank God because our God is not a God who sleeps. He's a God of action. He's a God of action, and what he does, he is keeping us, or in fact, you know, he is caring us and he is taking care of us. He is watching us. We see in Joshua chapter 5 that Joshua was in a war mood because he wanted to conquer the land of Israel. It was the promise of God, and he was beside the wall of Jericho because he wanted to attack the country, and he was trying to see what is going to happen. And he saw a person. Then we understand that it is God. And what do you see there? God is not sleeping, but he see that man with a drawn sword. His sword is not in the sheath. It's a drawn sword. That means he is always in action. Our God is a God of action. And he creates. Our God is creating. And what is what he created first? It's the heavens and earth. And then we know that God has created a lot of things later, but it was the beginning, the first. Then sometimes people ask themselves, or sometimes, you know, when they are in despair, they say, hey, why God created me? If God did not create me, then certainly it would have been good for me. I needed not to suffer all these things. Sometimes people, when they suffer, especially when they suffer, they say, why God created me like that? Many times questions are coming into their mind. I'm not blaming them. Sometimes when they suffer, they may ask that question. True. This is a question that was asked by not just by few people of our land, but it was a question asked by all the people of all the world, of all ages. Everybody was trying to find an answer why God created. And there was a lot of answers. And even sometimes we say that, God is, it's a game for God. So God created us and we are just, we are struggling and God is just clapping his hands and enjoys. No. You cannot expect such a God, you know. God forbid, he will never do that. Because God is not a God like that. He cannot enjoy when people are suffering. Like sometimes the small kids, they are catching a butterfly and tying a small cord and put a stone and let the butterfly fly. And, you know, it struggles and the children are clapping. God is not like that. Then why God created? This question was asked by many people. And even in the ancient times, there was a man called Thomas Aquinas. He was a philosopher and also a theologian. He was trying to give an answer for this question. And he said, creation is the radiance of God's goodness. I like it. Because he says, God is full of goodness. And if he is full of goodness, he cannot keep it down or, you know, in a special compartment. It will radiate. It will radiate. If we leave the light, then certainly the light will go out. You cannot say, if you put on the switch of a bulb and you say, no, light should go out. It cannot happen, because if it is light, if it is goodness, it will radiate. Like he says, creation is the radiance of God's goodness. I like it, because it is a reality. That's the reason why when God created everything, just after that he is saying, it's good. It's good. It's good. Yeah, it's good. Because only good can come out of God. No bad things can come out of God. Because God is full of light and he is full of good. But when we read here in Genesis, something odd happens. Something we never expect. It says, in the beginning God created heavens and earth. And the earth was void and shapeless. When I read that passage, I was just wondering why this is happening. Because if it is God who created heavens and earth, how can it be void and shapeless? Can God create something void and shapeless? I don't think so. So God can never create something void. Because God is good, He is light, and He is full of light, and then He cannot do something like that. He cannot create. Whatever comes out of God can never be void and shapeless when He creates. So, why it happened, or what really happened? The Bible clearly says God did not create it or the world a chaos. In Isaiah chapter 45 verse 18, I'll read that passage for you. For thus saith Jehovah, who created, that created heavens, and God that formed the earth and made it, He did not create it a chaos, He formed it to be inhabited. That's in Isaiah chapter 45 verse 18. That's the reason why I say that when God creates something, He cannot create it a chaos. He cannot. That's a fact. Then what happened? Why it is void and shapeless? Probably the word which is to be used there is not exactly what is used in our English Bible. But the new translations, they have said something like that. Probably it became. It became. That means when He created, it was not void and shapeless. But it became void and shapeless. That's what happened. So it became void and shapeless. No problem. No problem means then we can know that when God created it, it is not void and shapeless. It became. And how it happened, how the world that is created by God, how it became void and shapeless, how it became. So there we see in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, the second part, we see, and darkness was upon the deep, or the sea. The deep means it is sea. Darkness was upon the sea. So that's the reason. We see something is coming into the scene. Something that is not expected. Something odd. What? It is darkness. Darkness is coming. So maybe we can say like that, like, you know, God created heavens and earth. It was good. And something happened. Darkness came. And the darkness made the good earth that God created void and shapeless. He did not create it as a chaos, but the darkness. But again, there is a question. How the darkness came there? How the darkness came there? Who created darkness? Is it God? Is it God? No, God cannot create. Is it Satan? Or is it somebody else? I tell you, my friends, there is only one creator, and that creator is God. So God cannot create, and even Satan cannot create, because he is not a creator God. There is only one creator God. Then from there the darkness came. That's a question. That's a good question. If God is the only creator, do we need to believe that it is created by God? I told you already, God forbid. It will never happen, because nothing can come out of God as dark, because He is good, He is light. He is good and He is light. Then what happened? Then our question again, how the darkness came into the scene? Who created darkness? Let me tell you, my friends. Do you think that darkness should be created? Or can somebody create darkness? No, my friend. You cannot create darkness. What is darkness after all? It is not a reality. Darkness is absence of light. That's all. So there is no need for somebody to create darkness. Because if you want to make this room dark in the night, just put off the light. That's all. If you close all the windows and everything, if you resist the coming of the light, it is darkness. So there is no need to create darkness. And according to the understanding of the Bible, especially as we have read from, we already read from Genesis chapter 1 and also from Isaiah chapter 45. Let me reread it, something like that. What is it? In the beginning, God created heavens and earth. And the earth and heaven that God created, it was good. But the earth was resisting the light of God. Resisting. There was light, of course it was light. But the earth was not receiving light. We do not know the details of it, but this is what the biblical writer mean. The world was not receiving the light. So what happened? It became void and shapeless. That is natural. That is normal. When you do not have the light of God in your life, it is not just about the world or the earth. It's about everybody. It is about people. It is about you and me. God created us good. And what happens? God was giving us light, and God is light. And when I started resisting the light of God in my life, or when I was not ready to receive the light, when I put a mask before the light of God, when I was rebellious against light, what happens? Naturally, it becomes void and shapeless. That's what happened in my life. And that's what is happening in the life of many people. Not just many people, everybody. This is what is happening. If you are in the light of God, you are not void, you are not shapeless, you are not dark. But when you resist the light of God, it is all darkness. So now it is time for us to look what was the response of God. You just check. God created heavens and earth, and the earth was rebellious. In fact, I'm trying to say it in such a way so that we can connect it with our own life. It was rebellious, and it was not receiving light, and finally it became void and shapeless. You know, God created everything in one word. When He pronounced a word, that happens. He is so powerful. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So when the earth was rebellious and when the earth was void and shapeless, what was God's response? If it was in my case, or if you and I were placed there, then certainly if we were able to do something or able to create something with a word, normally it is possible that we say, okay, I abandon the earth because, you know, it is rebellious and it is void and it is shapeless. I don't need it. I'm going to create another earth. That's naturally, that's what is happening everywhere. Suppose Ratan Tata, you know that. Tata, recently they bought, the Tata Motors bought the Jaguar and Land Rover and all those kind of very costly cars. Suppose he is driving a Land Rover and something happens, maybe it hit somewhere or the car got damaged, totally shapeless. And do you think that he is going to take that car to the mechanic and sit there with the mechanic and make it right? I don't think so. He will just, in a telephone call, I mean, there is no need to make a telephone call because maybe there will be people who accompany him. In a few hours, you can see that another Land Rover is there because he is able to make or, you know, to another one. It is easy for him. So God is able, of course, He is able to create another world in a second. But that is not God. Our God is different. Our God never abandoned, even when we fail, even when we are rebellious, even when we lost our shape, even when we lost our relationships, even when we lost our joy or happiness, even when everybody abandons, He never abandons us. That is divine. That God can never abandon. That is the speciality of our God. Human cannot tolerate after a certain limit. But God is not like that. He never abandoned. This is a message I want to tell you this day, my friends. You know what is happening? The Spirit of the Lord was coming and sitting over, moving over the waters. Waters means, we have seen that the darkness was upon the deep, that is waters, of course. And the Spirit of the Lord is coming the same place where Satan, the darkness, made everything void and shapeless. When I read that passage, it was really touching my heart, my friends. It is the life of you and me. Our life, it is shapeless. Sometimes it's void. Many people say, I have no hope at all. Yeah. Humanly speaking, we lost our hope. We are in sinful life. Many times we want to come out of our sinfulness. Difficult. Temptations. And even other things like, you know, we are struggling to make, maybe we say, to meet our both ends. in our life, in our body, in our soul, in our spirit, in our church, in our family. Yeah. Look at the people around the world. Look at the families. Broken families. Look at the villages. Quarreling villages. Look at the cities, rioting cities. And look at the world. A world of war. No one trusts the other person. Shapeless. No hope. But what is God's response? He never abandoned. He's coming down. If you have a broken family, if you have a broken relationship, then God comes there. Exactly the place where you lost your shape, exactly the place where you are void. God is coming down. And He never abandoned. The Spirit of the Lord is moving over. In the word that is used there, it is very interesting. It is like the hen is sitting upon the eggs, laying eggs and sitting upon it. God is doing the same thing. He's moving over. He's working. He's moving over us. And you know what is happening when the hen is sitting upon the eggs after some time? Creation happens. This is exactly what is happening in Genesis. Creation. Somebody says the first 3 days were days of separation, and the second 3 days were days of population, and the final day was a day of celebration. So what happens? It is creation. It's creation. How it happens? It happens because the Spirit of the Lord is moving over. This will happen in your life if you are loving. Maybe you are rebellious, you are sinful, you are anything. Maybe you have a lot of struggles and troubles and disasters in your life. I just ask you, allow the Holy Spirit, or call upon the Holy Spirit, call upon Jesus, call upon God. Lord, I am shapeless, I am in darkness. Then certainly I am sure God will come down. And He will move over you. And I'm sure that He is going to recreate you. He's not just a creator, He is a recreator. And this is going to happen in your life, my friend. But you need to accept Him to sit over. And it's not just 1 day or 2 days. See, you know that if hen is sitting upon the egg, the hen should be there for some time, a certain time. We need to be patient enough. Suppose an egg is coming under the hen for 1 day and then it is going out. Do you think that you will get a chick? No, it will be rotten. This is exactly the same thing happens in the life of many people. Some people think that every Sunday I will go under the wings of God and sit there, and all the other days I will be out. You cannot expect recreation happens in your life. We need an unceasing fellowship with God. To be there patiently waiting. Hey, why? It is 2 days, it's 3 days. Why? There is no chick. Don't worry. It will take time. But creation. My friends, it is going to happen in your life. It's going to happen in your life. When I talk to you, the Holy Spirit, let the Holy Spirit come upon you and sit upon the places where Satan made your life void and shapeless. And then suddenly I know what is happening. You'll be a new creation. You know how I'm assured about it? Because it happened in my life. I'm not preaching something that I from a book. I preach everything that I experience in my life. It's my life. I was a void, shapeless guy. But God recreated me. And He is making me grow. The hen, even after, when it becomes a chick, you know, it's not just leaving it. Till it reaches maturity, the hen is after the chicks. Because God is going to make you perfect in your life. I want to say one more thing very soon. Look at the world today. It is void and shapeless. It is true. And what God is doing, sometimes people say, oh, look at the world, pain, sin, cruelty, murder, war. What God is doing, why God is silent? God is not silent. God is doing the same thing what He was doing when the first earth which He created became void and shapeless. What He was doing, He was moving over the waters. It's the same thing God is doing. The same thing God is doing. You know, now God is moving over this world. world of darkness. And I'm sure something is going to happen. You know what it is? A new heaven and a new earth. That's what we see in Revelation. That even in Revelation, I'll read that passage for you before I end my message. Chapter 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I love that passage. You know why? When God created the heavens and earth in the beginning, there was sea. And that's the reason why. It's a theological statement. That's the reason why darkness came. Now, in the new heaven and earth, there is no darkness. You know why? There's no sea. Darkness cannot prevail there. It's a place, it's a perfect world. And our lamb will be our lamb. I mean Jesus Christ. The slain lamb will be the lamb. Lamb of that new heaven and new earth. I want to tell you, my friends, you need not be in despair, saying, I have nobody, everybody abandoned me. It is possible, but God will never abandon you. This is your chance to call upon the Lord and ask Him, Holy Spirit, what I need is a word from you. Let there be light, because I am in darkness. And God will pronounce it, and everything will be changed. Can you just close your eyes for 1 minute? And I want to pray for you. When I pray, I just want to see that you are also praying. Tell God, God, I am in darkness. I am void. I am shapeless. If I go like this, this is the end of my life. And I know that you are concerned about me. You created not to play a game upon me. You created because you love me. And now I pray, Lord, I'm in darkness, I'm shapeless. My friends abandoned me. My parents abandoned me. My family. Maybe your own husband, your own wife, your children abandoned you. Tell God, Lord, I have a broken fellowship in my family. Many times I fail to get victory over my sins. I need you to brood over me, come upon me. Let thy Holy Spirit come upon the darkness that happened in my life, O God. I want to come out of it, O God. Let thy Holy Spirit say a word. Let there be light. I know that I'll be in light. Amen.